title of the next presentation is New Developments in Digital Breast Tomosynthesis. That will be presented by Dr. Locke.
I guess it needs to be called New Developments in Single Source Breast Tomosynthesis. Thank you. So today I'm going to talk about a lot of stuff, most of which I didn't do. To make all that fit, I had to take out all of my transitions, all of my jokes, all of my cartoons. So this is either going to be a really good idea or a really bad idea. We'll find out together. What I'd like to go through very quickly is the status quo of mammography, why we need breast tomosynthesis, in a very unlikely event that you haven't heard of breast tomosynthesis, well, I guess everybody has now, a very quick overview of it. And then launching into some of the recent developments in research, specifically studies in acquisition modes, reconstruction algorithms, computer-aided detection, hybrid technologies combining tomo with ultrasound, and contrast-enhanced tomo. So I won't go reading through all the names. You'll see the credits on the slides. There'll also be nice visual cues because I didn't have time to change the slide format. So when the color changes glaringly, you'll know it's not my work, but rather one of my collaborators or colleagues. So, very briefly, I think we all know the status quo of mammography. Mammo has a lot of strengths. You know, it is very low cost, high resolution. It can be acquired at very high speed and at an acceptable dose level. The problems with mammography, some of which are addressed by Tomo, are that, you know, there are very subtle findings. About 30% or up to 30% of cancers are missed, largely due to overlapping tissue and dense tissue. There's a low incidence. Radiologists have to read these rapidly, and they have to read it very quickly, not just quickly, but also very accurately. As you know, mammographers are the number one most sued, unfortunately. And there are also other issues regarding repeat procedures, and patients, of course, never like the compression. And digital mammography has come along, and a lot of people are wondering why we're so eager to trump out the next generation of breast imaging when digital mammography is still being introduced by itself. Well, first of all, let's cover what digital mammo can do. You can optimize performance because of the independent acquisition display and storage. You have greater dynamic range. You have faster throughput. You have reduced dose. And most salient to today's talk is that it allows these so-called advanced imaging applications, some of which we'll cover today. I'll gloss over that greater cost issue for now. So in conclusion, digital is inevitable, it's coming. There is potential for improved performance and it enables these advanced imaging techniques, which I'd like to talk to you today. So this is actually a slide courtesy of John Boone. I don't know if he's lurking here in the background somewhere. There's a lot of people who do breast tomo, breast CT rather, and I'm just using John's slides just because I work with him on a separate project and he was kind enough to share them. Very simply, breast CT goes around the breast all the way around, whereas breast tomo only goes in the limited arc. It's that simple. Okay, there's going to be a lot of hype and marketing when this thing comes out, and they're going to try to sell it as something much fancier than it really is. It is limited angle cone beam CT. That's all there is to it. It's a very old idea, and it's recently become popular again thanks to flat panel detectors. By recent, I mean late 90s onwards. And compared to true dedicated breast CT, Tomo is going to provide you with a couple of things. First of all, you're going to get non-isotropic voxels. The breast is typically compressed, which is both good and bad. It's going to give you better chest wall coverage as well as restricting patient motion, but of course from the patient's point of view, they're under compression. It's potentially going to cause you more artifacts, and potentially because it uses fewer projections than dedicated breast CT, it is going to be easier, faster, and possibly lower dose. So again, I'm just going to show, I won't go through all the details. If you're interested, please contact Dr. Boone directly. But I'm just going to show you a prototype system, some results from his system, just to again underscore the difference between tomography and tomosynthesis. And when I say tomo, I am referring to tomosynthesis, of course. This is not quite fair because what he did was he acquired this data set down here with full angular range and lots of projections and then stepped back and reconstructed it using subsamples of that. Okay, so just ignore the quantum noise differences in these images and just focus on the artifacts, if you will. And as you see, of course, as you increase the number of angle, shown in white, or images, shown in yellow, you're going to increase the resolution and decrease the number of artifacts. you come all the way back down to the upper left corner here, this would be perhaps something more akin to what the current commercial breast tomo prototypes are using. As you can see, there's a lot more artifacts for this exact same data. And this is again just showing Dr. Boone's experimental setup. It does require this prone table, and that is actually, in my opinion, one of the disadvantages of dedicated breast CT. You know, while it does give you those exquisite images, you have to position this patient. There's a larger footprint. There are various issues. Imagine getting a morbidly obese woman or a very old or frail woman on top of this table. That's not going to be trivial. So, okay. I'm just going to gloss over this slide, actually. Okay, so you saw this slide just now. This is our Siemens prototype. I'm going to show you actually pictures from all of the three major manufacturers in this field. And they all share fairly similar designs. The tube is going to scan in an arc here in this particular system, plus or minus 25 degrees. And there's typically some way of protecting the patient's head because, you know, they don't expect an X-ray tube to be moving typically during a mammogram study. So in this case, we have the extended face shield. We do use compression, again, both for purposes of immobilization as well as dose. And in this case, it's a stationary direct digital detector. This is the GE system, the most current prototype that they have. And this is courtesy of Dr. Klaus from GE. And the points that he would like to make, if he were here, I don't know if he's here, but if he were here, he would probably want you to notice the fact that down here, this curve to the most to the right, this is the DQE curve, is the initial FFDM system that GE came out with oh many years ago. And this third curve from the right here that I'm highlighting with a laser is the current essential detector. And so if you were to look at the performance, say, at this level and draw it over, you can see that they are now getting the same kind of performance at about 1/20th of the dose, which is why they can now use these systems for that purpose. And this is an actual prototype picture from Mass General of the, I believe it is the Hologic system, because it was provided by Dr. Wu from Hologic, and also because of little hints like that. But essentially, you can see all three of these systems share a very patient-friendly appearance, if you will. A woman walking up to this unit is not necessarily going to even know that she's participating in research if it weren't for the informed consent process. That just shows you how far along these trials are going and how close we are to clinical reality in this research. And which is why I have to show this for regulatory purposes, just to reinforce that no matter how polished and refined looking these systems are, they are still research prototypes. And here we have our favorite Siemens engineer performing a, what might be euphemistically called a field upgrade to our unit. Notice the soldering action going on back here. So, okay, so just to show you, because picture is worth a thousand words, a couple of quick what a tomo images look like. This is a typical normal patient. Hopefully everybody's seen mammograms by now. I don't have time to really go through it in detail. But I'm going to show you corresponding tomo slices stepping through this. This is the skin. You'll see these little pockets of fat just underneath the skin. You'll see, of course, the surface vessels of the skin. As I step through successive slices, you're going to see intramammary lymph nodes right here. And then as we get towards the middle, we're going to start to see the lymph nodes up in the axilla. And as I get exactly to the middle, you'll see the pectoralis depicted with exquisite detail, all the fibers and everything very nicely shown there. And this is an example of a cancer. This is it looks just like a regular case here. You have to take my word for it. On the mammogram, there's very subtle increased distortion right under the arrow there. Even under the mag view, I think you'll agree with me that this is hardly an obvious, scary-looking cancer, but you don't have to be a radiologist, I think, to notice this ugly spiculated mass with speculations going out in every direction on tomo. So just to show you some quick examples like this. And this is the movie that we'll probably not play, which is fine. If I have time, maybe at the end I'll fire it up outside of PowerPoint. Calcs have often been described in tomo as the Achilles heel of tomo. So I just want to show you one case here. In the mammogram, especially on the spot mag, I think you can just make out this thing. I call this my rose calc case. It looks like a rose stem. And the mag view shows it again in exquisite detail on the screen film mammogram. On Tomo, you can see it, but clearly the morphology and the resolution is going to be inferior to that of screen film. So, and then finally, this is a mammo miss case. I think I've shown this before at other conferences, so this may not be a fair question, but I don't know if anybody actually thinks they can see anything. The right is just a blown up version down here. I don't want you wasting time looking up in the axilla. And if you focus your eyes right here, there's a faint circle right in the retroareolar area. And in Tomo, I think you will all agree, it's very easy to see this well-circumscribed mass here. So this just gives you an idea of some of the cases that we have run across in our clinical trials to date. So moving on now to the recent developments. There are quite a few things that we can talk about here. First, I'm going to show you just some of the challenges in acquisition modes. These things look like ready-to-go prototypes, but there's still a lot of questions in how to acquire the images, ranging from angular range and sampling, whether you want to turn on features like lag correction or binning to speed things up, the dose that you're supposed to use, and whether you're even supposed to use uniform angular sampling or dose. So I won't go through all of these, but this just shows you, just for our prototype, all of the different combinations that are readily available. This is not even a complete list, it's just a sampling of them. But you can change all of these things and get lots of different combinations. And just to show you qualitatively what might happen if you vary two of these parameters, in the X direction we're changing the exposure, one versus two times that of a mammogram. In the Y direction we're changing whether we distribute that exposure over 25 or 49 views. And in this specimen you can see that there are qualitative differences that are readily appreciable to the eye. This happens to be the one we chose. If I had more time, I could go through exactly why I like that one more than another. But, you know, some of you might actually prefer this one down here, for example. This is a slide courtesy of Bob Nishikawa from Chicago, and he actually proposes something much more radical. So instead of just trying to divide the dose out equally, which is the kind of scenario shown here where you might double the exposure and divide it by n, he is actually proposing a hybrid acquisition scheme where you take half the dose and spend it on the middle projection. So essentially you're getting an FFDM shot right there, a full field digital mammo shot. And then you take the rest of the dose and you divide it by n minus 1. And by doing this, what you can do is you can take this middle projection and use it for running your computer-aided detection, which is very, very good at finding calcs. And it happens to also be one of the most time-consuming parts of a radiologist's reading. If you've ever seen a breast imager read a mammogram, he or she looks at it quickly and then breaks out the magnifying glass and spends a lot of tedious time scanning for the calcs. So by using this paradigm, perhaps we can save the radiologist a lot of time by doing that. The remaining shots can still be combined together to form the conventional Tomo images, as well as to be fed into a mass computer-aided detection algorithm. So the images are perhaps, well, I guess you can see a little bit the noise differences between the standard and the proposed image. On the right, essentially, you're getting an FFDM image under Bob's proposal here. And when you reconstruct them, the key point here is that they don't look very different. I actually have a difference image and it's all noise. Basically you can deliver the advantages of the conventional reconstructions, and what you can't really tell is that he's doing the reconstruction at a much lower resolution, because for the purposes of detecting masses you can do away with the need for that high resolution, which means of course that smaller file sizes, much faster reconstructions. So I'm going to skip through all of that. And just to show that great minds think alike, there is a fourth company out there, Dexcella, which is actually working on a prototype that can implement acquisition schemes similar to this. So for example, here's one scheme where you might have a full dose shot in the middle and then have varying decreased dose shots at different angular sampling from wider angles. And by doing this, that you can not only implement Dr. Nishikawa's proposed paradigm, but in addition you can also reconstruct a mammogram, if you will. So this is a virtual mammogram reconstructed from those Tomo scans, which will look very much like a real mammogram. These are courtesy of Dr. Bullard from Dexcella. So the next thing I want to show you real quickly are reconstruction algorithms. There are as many reconstruction algorithms or more than people working in this field. So I'm going to show you a couple of them just to emphasize the fact that there are so many of them. One of my colleagues, Jim Dobbins, has developed a technique he calls matrix inversion tomosynthesis. And this is an example actually from chest radiography where you can see the PA chest versus the MITS reconstructed slice image where you get a very nice rendition of the detail. And there are a lot of things that can still be optimized in terms of image quality, reconstruction speed, and robustness to artifacts. And I'm going to just do a quick blitzkrieg through some of these to show you without necessarily going into a lot of detail. So using this case, which is a case from our clinical trial, if you pay attention to these calcs here in the middle, this big benign one and these three benign things that look like ellipses, and I'm going to show you ROIs that contain those calcs. And this is work done by Ada Ying Chan, who is one of Jim Dobbins' students who just actually defended her PhD a few days ago. And she, as part of her work, compared different reconstruction algorithms, such as Dr. Dobbins' MITS, filter back rejection with additional filtering, as well as a hybrid. And the idea here is to try to combine the high-frequency sharpness of MITS with the pleasing low-frequency fidelity of filter back rejection. And so she believes that by doing this kind of fuzzy combination of the two techniques, you can get the best of both worlds, basically. This is actually a slide courtesy of Dr. Klaus from GE again, and it's a very complicated slide, but suffice it to say, again, he's comparing three different reconstruction algorithms here, and it's a two horizontal wires in two directions. The scan direction is horizontal in this case, and the second and third rows are the vertical stacks, if you will, in the two different directions. So you can see that for different reconstruction algorithms, you're going to get different trade-offs. For example, you know, it's going to have more or less of these out-of-plane artifacts in the various different directions. And here is some images from Dr. Wu again, here in his reconstruction work using MLEM. And the quick lesson here is that MLEM produces beautiful images, and it used to take a very long time to run. And in this work that he showed at this past SPIE, he's been able to cut it down by parallel processing from essentially 2 hours down to a few minutes. And the image quality is going to be very comparable. So, and just a very simple idea, I think the picture actually shows it easier, again from Tao Wu, in terms of artifact reduction. This is not a true different reconstruction technique per se, but rather just being clever when you're reconstructing. He noticed that this is an artifact from a needle in the breast, and these high contrast objects tend to result in these out-of-plane blur artifacts, which are very distracting and annoying. And by simply identifying the projections that contain the bad information, if you will, and leaving them out during the reconstruction, he can get results that look like this. So again, looking at some calcs, in this case large calcs, notice again these ugly artifacts before and after. So very, very simple idea that can help you with the reconstruction. And then finally, in terms of reconstruction, I just want to show some work from Chicago. Again, this is Ingrid Reiser and Bob Nishikawa, and they've deconstructed a simulated phantom here. It contains all the interesting objects that one might be interested in studying in breast tomo. And here they show results from three different reconstruction algorithms, filter back rejection, EM again, and this is a total variation minimization technique in collaboration with Xiaotren Pan, also in Chicago. And as you can imagine, they're claiming that this is the best technique, and the images certainly seem to bear to support that. Here's a ROI containing some calcs, and again you can see going across the same order how to compare the different artifacts between the different algorithms. You can see big differences. So I'm sorry I'm blazing through this, but I'm really trying to give you a quick overview of things. So moving on to the next major topic, which is computer-aided detection. So clearly here, what you would like to be able to do is to improve the sensitivity and specificity, and possibly improve the throughput. This is some work from Hanping Chan at University of Michigan, where basically she has designed computer-aided detection algorithms based on either just the projection views, this cyan line, or just based on the tomo reconstructive volume, or by combining them, this dark green line that's a little bit hard to see. And so clearly you can see here that the combination of these can potentially outperform either of them separately. Here's another study here. The credits are missing, but I believe this is from Chicago. And this is one of the approaches, for example, using the projection images. So the idea is that you identify what is suspicious in each of the separate projection images, much like you would with conventional CAD, and then you back project those locations to try to rule out false positives. And when you do that, if you imagine in any one direction here, you have all these possible hits in the separate CAD views, and when you reconstruct them, if you will, the true hits are going to tend to coalesce together, whereas false positives are going to tend to tease apart. And so in so doing, you would reduce a lot of your false positives. And so these are basically, if you look at the feature volume, as she calls it, if this is the reconstructed CAD probability space, if you will, so hot areas here indicate strong reinforcement from the different views in the three different directions, possible combinations of directions, you can see that the tumor tends to enhance strongly. The other alternative is to do it in the reconstructed volume space. So now you're just dealing with a 3D data set. Don't worry about how it was reconstructed. And in this case, they're using a multi-scale filter, and you get different kinds of responses, and you blend it all together. You tend to get a stronger reinforcement, again, at the mass location. So just showing you two different approaches for this that have many of the others are working on. And again, a very similar kind of FROC plot as you saw before. So moving on to the next topic, I'm actually using Dr. Carson's slide here just so I don't have to go through all his names. But this is an automated hybrid system that combines ultrasound and breast tomo together in one box. Some of you may have seen these pictures. This is from the University of Michigan. This is a GE prototype. And this is not quite as slick looking, if you will, compared to the others that are currently undergoing trials. But the X-ray tube is going to move behind this protective cowling. And if you zoom in here, you can see the ultrasound paddle here, as well as the probe of the ultrasound, which can swing out of the way during the breast tomo scan. And this is a zoomed in view of that assembly there. Of course, they have to use a gel to fill the gap. And to cut to the chase, basically what you can do is you can compare breast tomo with reconstructed 3D ultrasound. And in fact, there's the mass in the ultrasound as well as obviously in the tomo image. Oops. Oh yeah, and down here is the original scanning ultrasound data. And they also have software that will now line everything up so that you can draw a box, and this red box here in the tomo is drawn at the slice shown of by that red line there. So, and they've done quite a few studies here, about 120 with this combined system to date. So they're chugging along and getting lots of good data there. And finally, in my few remaining minutes, I'd like to show you some of the work from some of our friends at the University of Pennsylvania, Drs. Maiman and Carton, working in contrast-enhanced breast tomo. And what you're going to see here is the pre-contrast image on the left, and in the middle, the post-contrast image. And in this movie, you're going to see this area that will enhance. And this is a still from that area, since it's so hard to keep track of these movies. And as you can see from the caption, that's a spiculated mass with rim enhancement. They're also working on dual energy. Sorry about the sudden brightness. Hopefully wake you all up as well. But in this particular case, they've injected some iodine, a thick disk and a thin disk of iodine here in a very complicated background. And as you go through, you can do dual energy the classic way. You get a higher energy image, you get a low energy image, and when you do the subtraction, you get the iodine image. And in this case, you can see the fact that the thick disk comes across much thinner than the thin disk, and all the background is subtracted away. So that's basically it. I had a conclusion slide that disappeared, but I wanted to point out the fact that there is a lot of research going on. This is far from a complete overview. I apologize to my colleagues whose slides I could not fit in. Many more people were actually very generous in sending me stuff. But I did want to show you that not only are there clinical FDA trials ongoing now for the first generation tomo systems about to come out fairly soon, there's also these next generation systems that are already under development, not even waiting for that first step to be finished in terms of multiple modalities and so on. And I want to acknowledge my funding. Thank you very much.
Thank Thank you, Joseph. Any questions for this presentation? Steve?
Very nice talk, Joe.
Steve.
I've heard some rumblings that maybe the accuracy of detection of microcalcifications in tomosynthesis might be a little bit worse than in conventional mammography. And just wondering what your impression was.
Yeah, your impression's quite correct, unfortunately. I showed that one anecdotal example, and I think you can certainly see the case, but it was much more exquisitely rendered on the screen film mammo. One of the slides I didn't show from Chicago, actually, where they tried to do some CAD, and ironically, at least their very initial preliminary results were actually worse than their 2D conventional CAD based on mammo. So I think we've seen it from a couple different perspectives now, and it's going to be something that we need to work on. And that's part of the reason why people like Bob Nishikawa are thinking of that hybrid acquisition scheme where he can get the FFDM shot in the middle, because then, you know, if we agree that detection of calcs is not particularly difficult on a mammogram with the right kind of conditions, then you don't have to consider that to be a disadvantage anymore.